This is an ABC Radio National podcast. For full details, abc.net.au/rn.
Well, in Britain, they're called Chelsea Tractors, and Chancellor of the Exchequer Gordon Brown has just slapped an extra tax of £210 on them. Here, they're called Paddington Panzers or Toorak Tanks. How some can still afford to fill them with petrol is one of life's mysteries, at least for Bob Holderness Rodham, who's been contemplating our driving habits from his home in Austin's Ferry, Tasmania.
Australia's National Road Safety Strategy has set a target to reduce the number of road fatalities from 9.3 per 100,000 population in 1999 to no more than 5.6 fatalities per 100,000 population in 2010. I wish them luck, because they'll need it in large chunks unless they address one of the major problems on Australian roads. I refer to the proliferation of large four-wheel drive vehicles being used for private transport. They are battering rams, disguised as glorified shopping carts and school buses. To make matters worse, many are fitted with bully bars, which serve to increase the risk to other road users. In this talk, I will briefly outline the increased risks posed by these metallic monsters. I will then consider the attitudes of their owners, and then the government response. But first, let me state that I have nothing against four-wheel drives in their rightful place. Farms, forestry and mining operations, some trades and in legitimate bush environments. I have owned several, and my wife and I recently drove a monster through the Canadian Rockies, albeit rather reluctantly. Let's start with the risks from four-wheel drive vehicles. They are far taller and heavier than ordinary passenger vehicles, such as Ford Falcons and Holden Commodores. The result is that the occupants of these smaller vehicles are at a greatly increased risk of serious injury or death if they collide with one of the monster four-wheel drives. This risk is particularly high if the four-wheel drive attacks the side of the passenger compartment of the smaller vehicle. The occupants will suffer serious chest and head injuries. According to the ABC Catalyst program, broadcast on the 31st of October 2002, the drivers of vehicles hit side-on by four-wheel drives have a 26 times increase in death or serious injury than if they had been hit by a standard passenger vehicle. Four-wheel drive vehicles are at increased risk of rollover if involved in an accident, with or without another vehicle. Their high centre of gravity makes them relatively unstable. Add to this that their extra weight is more likely to crush their passenger compartments. Many four-wheel drives have poor rearwards visibility, resulting in these vehicles being overrepresented in accidents involving reversing over small children in driveways. But please don't take my word for this. Here's the proof. The executive summary of a paper by the Monash University Accident Research Centre 1997 stated that four-wheel drives were becoming an increasingly large proportion of the vehicle fleet on Australian roads. Because they are not classed as passenger cars or derivatives, they avoid many of the design rules applied to passenger cars in Australia. The Australian Transport Safety Bureau monograph number 11 of September 2003 included the following key findings. 1. Four-wheel drives involved in fatal accidents increased by 85% between 1990 and 1998, whilst the overall number of fatal road accidents decreased by a quarter over the same period. This is likely to be because of the increased distances driven by four-wheel drives on Australian roads as an overall percentage. Secondly, in accidents where four-wheel drives contributed to the cause of the crash, fatigue, alcohol or other drugs were a major factor. Four-wheel drivers were more likely to be affected by alcohol than drivers of any other class of vehicle. Third, four-wheel drives were far more likely to roll over in a crash than a standard passenger car. 35% compared with 13%. Fourth, occupants of passenger cars accounted for 64% of the fatalities in accidents involving four-wheel drives. The fatality rate for four-wheel drives was only 18%. A senior US journalist, Keith Bradshaw, has published an excellent book, High and Mighty, SUVs, the World's Most Dangerous Vehicles and How They Got That Way. This book is about the American experience, but much of it applies to Australia. Here's what he says about rollovers. US federal crash statistics show rollovers are less than 1% of US vehicle accidents, but result in 25% of all vehicle deaths. SUVs roll over 5 times per 100 crashes compared with 1.7 times for cars. The 1999 US insurance surveys found that large SUVs, such as Ford Explorers, resulted in 39 deaths per million registered vehicles. Bigger, mid-sized cars accounted for 14 deaths. Large, family-sized passenger cars accounted for only 9 per million registered vehicles. SUV rollover killed 2,049 occupants in America in 2000. The report Driveway Deaths, Fatalities of Young Children in Australia as a Result of Low-Speed Motor Vehicle Impacts, said that large four-wheel drives were overrepresented in accidents where young children were killed in driveways. The Sun Herald, for 7 September 2003, carried a heart-rending story by Frank Walker about a Nissan Patrol driver who ran over and killed a five-year-old girl in the grounds of her school. The driver claimed she didn't see the victim. Now, how about the attitudes of four-wheel drive owners? Not too flash, I'm sorry to say. Earlier last year, I shared my thoughts on four-wheel drive safety in a letter to my local newspaper, the Hobart Mercury. My letter had been triggered by two recent accidents involving four-wheel drives on Tasmanian roads. The reaction from readers was interesting. One wrote in agreement, whilst three others wrote to challenge my statements. You will appreciate that the letters pages of newspapers don't allow space to offer the research findings to support a case. One of those challenging my letter thought I'd missed the point. "It's a nut behind the wheel. Just remove the idiots from the road," he said. Okay, firstly, that nut behind the wheel term was coined by the US auto industry in an effort to combat a young Ralph Nader's crusade to improve car safety in the 1960s. Now, what about removing idiots from the roads? Various police forces have been trying to do that for some time, with little apparent success. Trouble is, they keep breeding the idiots. And some of them are going to get their hands on four-wheel drives. Another respondent simply stated that if I didn't feel secure in my flimsy, flip-over, plastic-panelled buzz box, then why didn't I buy a strong, sturdy, rigid four-wheel drive? Well, the reason that I no longer have a strong, sturdy, rigid four-wheel drive is that I care about my fellow road users and the environment. The final response was from an acquaintance of mine. He had been involved in Neighbourhood Watch for many years, and I had often heard him speak at some length on road safety issues. It would be reasonable to expect him to have been aware of the issues raised. But no, he claimed the number of four-wheel drive rollovers was because all the drivers are spending time in the bush. Actually, over 80% of four-wheel drives never venture off the bitumen. He also stated they must be safe as his son had one, and he'd never had an accident. Radio National's Background Briefing, a program dealing with this issue in June 2003, The Cars That Ate Cities. The presenter, Stephen Skinner, spoke to a random selection of four-wheel drive owners in a suburban car park. These were your average mums and dads, not your macho bush drivers. Their attitude towards other road users was quite appalling. Basically, they felt it was the other person's responsibility to keep out of their way, rather than their responsibility to consider fellow road users. So there we have it, a mixture of ignorance and macho arrogance from some four-wheel drive owners. Hardly a comforting response for those of us who prefer to drive flimsy, flip-over, plastic-panelled buzz boxes. Now, I'm going to be quite unscientific here and add my own observations about the behaviour of four-wheel drive owners. It seems to me that the drivers of these technological tyrannosaurs have an increased feeling of their own safety, and to hell with the rest of us. Over recent months, I have seen four-wheel drives pull out into traffic flows and accelerating through red lights, secure in the knowledge that other road users will get out of their way. Where are those log trucks when you need them? There is clearly an enormous road safety issue here. So what's the federal government doing about it? Not very much. Senator Ron Boswell issued a media release in March 2002, headed "Large Increase in Fatal Four-Wheel Drive Crashes." The release opened by stating there had been an 85% increase in the number of fatal four-wheel drive crashes over the nine-year period to 1998. Senator Boswell described these figures as being quite staggering. The rest of the release gave further information to flesh out the story. So what did Senator Boswell propose to do about the situation? He simply suggested that four-wheel drive owners be made aware of the greater risks and urged them to drive more cautiously. More recently, Senator Campbell, then Minister for Local Government, Territories and Roads, was interviewed on ABC Radio. The Senator was quoted as saying that he thought driver education and consumer information at the point of sale about safety aspects of four-wheel drives are things the Australian Government can work on immediately with the cooperation of the states. So that's it. Government identifies serious road safety issue and issues media releases urging caution and education. But does education work? No, at least not when we are trying to change behaviour. I have been an adult educator for 30 years, and it is the wrong tool for this issue. If you don't believe me, just look at the situation regarding seatbelt use, drink driving, speeding, and the use of mobile phones whilst driving. The authorities tried education in an effort to change driver behaviour in each of these situations, but it was not successful. In the end, legislation had to be used, with education serving to remind drivers of the penalties for flouting the laws. Even then, some drivers continue with their bad behaviour on our roads. Frankly, until the federal government gets serious about this 21st century scourge of our cities, suburbs and highways, we are going to see more serious accidents involving four-wheel drives on our roads. Not only are they forming an increasingly large proportion of our national vehicle fleet, but these vehicles will age with the resultant wear on such important components as brakes, steering and suspension. Team this with the younger, inexperienced drivers, including a proportion of hoons, and we have the recipe for a national road tragedy on a major scale over coming decades. So, what is the answer? The federal government simply must act to have all privately owned vehicles comply with design standards currently covering the standard passenger vehicle fleet. This should go a long way towards improving safety, particularly for other road users and fuel economy. The front end of four-wheel drives must be designed so as to reduce their aggressivity towards other road users, smaller vehicles, cyclists and pedestrians. Their bumpers must be lowered to prevent them sliding over the sills of vehicles they hit side on. Their bonnets must conform to a maximum height standard, again for the protection of other road users. All vehicles must meet standards to minimise the risk of rollovers and to protect their occupants from being crushed if the vehicle does roll over. We must also address the proliferation of bully bars. The unwritten rule seems to be that the bigger the vehicle, the bigger the bully bars. The current Australian standards must be revised to ensure only vehicles operating in circumstances where bully bars are required should be permitted to have them fitted. They should be banned from all residential areas. Some drivers claim that bully bars protect them from collisions with animals. In fact, animal collisions count for very few serious accidents. The animals come off worst. The answer is to drive more slowly in areas where wildlife is likely to be on the road. Finally, any legislation dealing with four-wheel drives must consider their impact upon our environment. Clearly, the heavier a vehicle is, the larger the engine, and the more fuel it will use. These machines are contributing to the rapid depletion of our fossil fuels and contributing excessively to greenhouse gases and pollution in our atmosphere. You can compare the environmental performance of vehicles in Australia on the internet by visiting www.greenvehicleguide.gov.au. A recent article in the Sunday Tasmanian highlighted the serious reduction in Tasmanian shorebird numbers. The reasons? Unrestrained dogs, trail bikes and four-wheel drives. A small number of irresponsible owners drive their vehicles above high water mark on our beaches, destroying the eggs and younger shorebirds which breed in this above-the-tide zone.
Only to have their eggs crushed by a giant jalopy. By the way, I see four-wheel drive sales are going down because of the price of petrol. Bob Holderness Rodham in Hobart. Next week, LJ Perry looks at three anniversaries in 2006. I'm Robin Williams.
ABC Radio National. More than 60 programs, more than 260 transmitters Australia-wide. And we're live on the net as well as media on demand streams. Find out how to get more out of Radio National. Go to abc.net.au/rn. And for the full list of MP3 and podcast programs, abc.net.au/rn/podcast.